This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
You are continuously present tense, being totally, always, forever cleansed because you're in Jesus Christ and you are in the light, and in the light you can never be in darkness again. Never can you be in darkness again.
Download and stay connected with the Changing Your World podcast with Creflo Dollar. Keep the Word of God at the forefront of your mind with these powerful and uplifting messages. With each message that you download and stream, you gain revelation of the fullness of God's grace. The Changing Your World podcast brings you life-changing wisdom right at your fingertips, no matter where you are. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Under grace, God will first remind us of what He has done in grace. And then on the basis of that work that He's done in grace, then He's going to appeal for a life that will harmonize with that which He's done in grace. For example, I beseech you, brethren, Romans 12 and 1, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God does something in grace first, and then He shows up with an appeal, the intent to try to get our lives to harmonize with what He's done in grace. The second thing is that God's appeals for godly conduct are valid only when based on His works of grace. So when God makes an appeal, forgive one another, get rid of bitterness, honor Him with your body, His appeals are only valid if they're based on His works of grace. So if God's asking us to obey in any area, it's going to be based on His works of grace. And then the final thing, God's appeals have no force when His mercy and grace are ignored. His appeals have no force when His mercy and grace are ignored. In other words, we have to recognize what God did before the foundations of the world. That before the foundations of the world, He saved us. Before the foundations of the world, He gave us an inheritance. Before the foundations of the world, He adopted us, made His mind up that every believer was going to be a son or a daughter of the Lord. He did all of these things before the foundations of the world. That was His works of grace. We are living in undeserved favor. He did that before the foundations of the world. Once you got born again, you're instantly grafted into the family of God. All of that happened. And so what He says is, since I did all of that for you and you didn't do anything to deserve it, now I'm going to appeal to you to walk worthy. I'm going to appeal to you to forgive. I'm going to appeal to you to get rid of bitterness. I'm going to appeal to you to live a life that will harmonize with my work of grace. And so now, instead of us doing something to try to get God to do something good for us, God says, I'm going to do something good for you first, and then hopefully that will be a motivation for you to want to live a life that will harmonize with my works of grace. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. Now let's begin Ephesians chapter 4 and 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I am beseeching you that you will walk worthy of the vocation. Another translation says, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. So he's saying here, I therefore. Now, the therefore part says in chapter Ephesians 1, chapter Ephesians 2, in the Ephesians 3, he began to lay out his work of grace. You see in Ephesians 1 where he talks about the inheritance, and he talks about that we've been made the sons of God. He talks about how we've been baptized into Jesus Christ. So whatever Jesus has, you have. He did all of this before the foundations of the world. It was a work of his grace, and he says, therefore, since he's done all of this, the prisoner of the Lord says, I beseech you that you now walk worthy of the vocation. The illustration we use is the fact that the royals in England, they do nothing to be a part of the royal family. You have to be born into it. Now, some of them tried to reject it. I don't want to be a royal. And the fact of the matter is you're born into it. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything. And some of them had just to make their mind up that, okay, well, since I've been born a royal, I need to learn how to harmonize with that birthright. And then I want to do that. I want to harmonize. When you look at what God has done for you, it's so magnificent, it should bring you to a point where you're not trying to live right so you can get God to do you right. You're not trying to get God to love you, but the fact that God already loved you should now be the motivation for wanting to harmonize with a life that lines up with his works of grace. I want to do this thing because of what he's already done. I'm not doing this to try to get him to bless me. He's already blessed me. Ephesians 1 said that you've already been blessed with spiritual blessings. So since I've been blessed with spiritual blessings, let me start living like I'm blessed. Are you following what I'm saying? In church, it's always been about do this thing so that God will do something good for you. And it's completely the other way around. God did something good for you. While you were yet a sinner, God had already done something good for you. What he wants you to do is recognize his work of grace and want to harmonize your life in line with what he has done. To want to do it. There's something about wanting to do it out of your heart versus being motivated by fear, motivated by God's going to get you, motivated that God's not going to love you, motivated that you're not going to get something. He is saying, here's the fact. I gave you my son. I'm going to give you everything else. Do you think at least you can now want to do something for me because of what I've already done for you? Now, so we move into, and we're talking now about the worthy walk. The first condition of a worthy walk, we've talked about this, is not expressed in action nor in deed, but it's a state of mind. It's a state of heart to walk lowly and to walk humbly before the Lord. That's a state of mind. It's teaching lowliness, God's way of teaching us meekness, God's way of teaching us long-suffering, God's way of teaching us forbearance and unity of the Spirit. Then the second condition of the life worthy of the high calling of God is growth and development of our spiritual life. That he not only asked us to grow and develop, but he gave us fourfold ministry gift. And that fourfold ministry gift is designed to help us to grow. Somebody says, you mean fivefold? No, I mean fourfold. It's not fivefold. There are only four. Read the Bible very clearly. He says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor and teacher. It wasn't some pastor and then some teacher, because you need the teaching gift to pastor. So it's fourfold. And he gave us those gifts to help us to grow and develop. So watch this. We didn't deserve the gifts, but God says, I'm not asking you to do something without my work of grace and mercy being involved. So everything he's asked you to do, believe me, you're not on your own. He got your back. Amen. Now, let's begin Thank God with number three. But this is something here, number three. Another characteristic of walking worthy of the calling is number three, be followers of God as dear children walking in love. Because of His mercy and grace, and because of what He's done, to walk worthy of who we are, to walk worthy of the undeserved privileges that we have, He is saying, could you at least be followers of God as dear children walking in love? Can you at least follow me? I've adopted you. I've given you an inheritance. I've blessed you. I've sealed you with the Holy Ghost. Can you now be a follower of God? And can you walk in love as dear children? Notice what it says here, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Now, this is leading into something that I don't know. What I'm about to say this morning has taken me probably 13 years to say, and I just got to say it plain. I'm not going to fix it up or anything. It's got to be said. Verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Here's the appeal. Be followers of God as dear children. Verse 2, and walk in love. Followers of God, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, okay, and hath given Himself for us an offering. He's given Himself for us. See, He's talking about His grace and mercy. He's given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus did that. You didn't deserve that. None of us deserve for Jesus to give Himself as an offering and as a sacrifice. We didn't deserve that. We didn't deserve for Him to die and to go to the hell we should have went to. We didn't deserve for Him to be whipped with a cat of nine tails. No. He did all of that for us. And He is saying, could you walk in love? Can you be a follower of God? Now, I'm motivated by something way different than trying to get God to do something good for me, because I'm looking, He's done something good for me. Now, watch this, verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Now, verse 8 says this, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you light. Now are you light. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light. You were darkness. You are now light. Follow this carefully. You were darkness. You are now light. So walk as children of light. You know what he's saying? Walk like you are. Don't walk like you were. No. This is bigger than that. Go to John chapter 8 and verse 12. Let's camp here for a moment. This is big. This is big because I got to admit, you know, growing up in my Christian life, I didn't know what the whole light thing was about. I thought walking in light. Well, how do I walk in light? And I heard all kinds of things. Walk in the light of God's word. Walk, behave yourself in like you're in light. Verse 12, he said, now this is the context of verse 12, is the woman who was caught in adultery. If you look up at verse 11, Jesus had just addressed this. She was caught in the very act of adultery. She told the guys, you know, they wanted to stone her to death, and he said, you who are without sin, stone her first. And they all walked away. And Jesus said, is there anybody there to condemn you? He said, no, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Watch what he said. Go and sin no more. And then the very next verse, verse 12, in fact, go to verse 11, and then I'm going to read into verse 11, verse 12. She said, no man, Lord, and Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee.
go and sin no more. How many of you know that condemnation doesn't stop people from sinning? You can come to church all day long and the preacher tell you how awful you are and how bad you are and you ain't no good and God gonna get you, but they ain't gonna stop you from sinning. All you're gonna do is say, well, then I might as well go on and keep sinning since I ain't no good. Condemnation doesn't stop you from sinning. But then he goes to verse 12. He says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Who's the light? Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, today, we don't need to be afraid of his light, because when we enter that light in the new birth, see, when you get born again, you enter that light. And what does it mean to enter that light? When you get born again, you enter Christ himself. You got saved and you entered into Christ yourself. You got baptized into Christ. Just like the illustration that was used last week, you got baptized into Christ. Here's Christ, here is you. The day you got born again, it was no longer you hanging out here by yourself. You got in Christ. So whatever happens to this case happens to the glasses in this case. Whatever happens to Christ happens to those in Christ. Christ rose from the dead. You rose from the dead. Christ was seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. You're seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And that's why he says when you see him, you will see him as he is. You're like, Lord have mercy, that's Jesus. I'm in him. He's the light. Okay. When you got in him, you became the light.
Oh, y'all hear me, hear me, hear me. Hear me, hear me.
This light does not expose our sin. It reveals the perfection of Christ's blood in taking away our sin. So the light doesn't expose our sin. It reveals the perfection of Christ, his blood, and his blood, how it took away our sin. Now notice the phrase, shall not walk in darkness. Shall not walk in darkness. Now today, for believers who are in Christ, I know it's heavy, I'm getting ready to say it. Today, those of us who are believers in Christ, it is impossible to walk in darkness ever again.
No. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Those who are believers in Christ, those who are in Christ, those who are in the light, it is impossible for you to ever walk in darkness again. Now, we still sin, but we will never be in darkness. I said we still sin, but you ain't never gonna be in darkness. You have been delivered out of darkness. You are in Christ. Christ ain't never gonna be in darkness, and you ain't gonna never be in darkness.
All right, now watch this now. Watch this. Let's go to, I got 1 John 1:7. So I'm using scriptures to help me clarify and define this. 1 John 1:7. Now he says here, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light,
we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, what? Cleanses us from all sin. Now, listen to me carefully. If we have a performance or a works mindset, if we have a performance or a works mindset, if like all of us had a performance and a works mindset, and if you still have a performance and a work mindset, and then you see this phrase, you will automatically assume it's talking about behavior. Look at it. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if you have a works-based mindset, you're going to automatically think it's behavior. But this phrase is not referring to how we walk, but it is referring to where we walk. Not how we walk, but where we walk. It's not saying, now look at it. It's not saying if we behave ourselves like Jesus behaves himself, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sin. That doesn't make sense. If I behave myself like Jesus behaves himself, I'm perfect. Why am I being cleansed? You know what I'm saying? If it's talking about behavior and performance, if you look at it as saying walking in the light, but if we behave ourselves as he behaves himself, or if we perform as he performs, then based on our behavior and based on our performance, we have fellowship one with another. And then the blood of Jesus can cleanse us if we behave ourselves. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about how you walk. He's talking about you're in Christ Jesus, walking in Christ Jesus. You are in the light. Now, even if you were to say that's the deal. Even if you were to say, well, if we behave ourselves like Jesus behaves himself, well, what does it make you if you behave in yourself like Jesus? Question, is Jesus perfect? Yes. So if you're behaving yourself like Jesus, you're behaving yourself like what? Perfect, right? So if you're behaving yourself like Jesus, and Jesus is perfect, what are we cleansing? What are we cleansing? See, it's easy to say stuff like that, but what are we cleansing? You ain't cleansing nothing. See, the fact of the matter, if you were not in Christ or in the light, glory to God, hallelujah. If you were not in him, then you would need to be cleansed. But since you are in him, you are presently right now, every day of your life, I know it freaks you out if you are behavior mindset. But if you understand that you didn't bring nothing to the table and you got in the light, and it's where you're walking. You got in the light. You're in Jesus, so you in the light, and you are constantly in the light. Even when you sin, it's almost like putting dirt on you while you're in the shower. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. I know it's tight, but it's right. It's right. You are continuously present tense, being totally, always, forever cleansed because you're in Jesus Christ and you are in the light. And in the light, you can never be in darkness again. Never can you be in darkness again. Why would I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me if I'm acting like him? I can't act like him without being in him. This scripture is talking about the realm we are in as a believer, not the way we are performing, but where we live now. We are in the light because we have been cleansed from all our sins. Look at Colossians 1. Let me solicit these two scriptures to help bring clarity to this. Colossians 1, 12 through 14. It's a hard saying because if you're sin conscious, the only thing in your mind that you're concerned about is what about if I sin? What about if I sin? Why are you always thinking about what about if you sin? You're in this human body. Until he finishes fixing you, you're probably going to sin. Oh, I know that's a bold statement. Why do you think you're not going to sin? Bad attitude, funky presence. Why do you think you ain't going to sin?
How can Christians walk worthy of Christ? In Creflo Dollar's four-part series, The Worthy Walk, he reveals how to keep Satan at bay and be seen as faultless.
What he wants you to do is recognize his work of grace and want to harmonize your life in line with what he has done. You walk where God is, because you are in Christ and He is in you. You are continuously forever cleansed because you're in Jesus Christ and you are in the light, and in the light you can never be in darkness again.
This revelation-filled series is available for a love gift of $25 or more for CDs, or $35 or more for DVDs. Accept Jesus' finished works today. Call the number on your screen, scan the QR code, or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore.
Are you ready to unlock your true potential? Are you a bold woman who knows her worth and is ready to transform the world?
And so if there is one person in this world who looks to you for guidance, you are a leader.
This is more than just an event. It's a revolution.
The destiny that God has designed for you is polar opposite of the darkness that you've experienced.
We are the starting place and the rest of it is but God.
So you have to build your relationship with God by spending time.
So we rejoice today knowing that He is God and He causes us to triumph and to win in every situation and in every circumstance.
Join us March 20th through the 21st, 2025, because the world needs your real, authentic self now more than ever. Register today and let's change the world.
I want to extend a special thanks to those of you out there who are committed to giving into our international efforts. Those of you who sow precious seeds into this ministry help us with our global missions all over this world. This year, we've partnered with organizations all over the world to help rescue human trafficking victims, build irrigation systems, and support orphanages, schools, and homes for the elderly. Meeting the physical and spiritual needs of hurting people opens the door to share the gospel of grace with them. Thank you for helping us minister to people everywhere, and may God bless you.
Log on to our website at missions.creflodollarministries.org to see all the work we do at Creflo Dollar Global Missions. Thank you for your support.
The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.